going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, columnist for the Daily Memphian, joins us every single Monday, and he joins us now. Okay, I know you weren't there, but you have certainly seen and read and talked about, you know, everything that was said in the Grizzlies press conference. So just using context clues, what do you think the future holds? What could the future hold for the Memphis Grizzlies, Jeff Calkins?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I listened to it. I think it's impossible to know. I mean, there's two questions. I think the two biggest questions are, is Isolo going to be the coach? And are all three of the stars going to be back? Right? Those are the two biggest questions. And I think, if I had to predict, I would predict that Isolo will be back, mostly because the players, and in particular Ja, endorsed him. And, you know, you never know. Could they be saying something else behind the scenes that they're saying, you know, other than what they're saying to the media? 100%. What's interesting, though, is that Ja used words like excited, right, you know, that weren't just, hey, he's a good coach, right? You know, he never said anything really nice about Taylor Jenkins ever, particularly, right? And so I thought he was more enthusiastic about Isolo than I'd literally ever heard him be about Taylor Jenkins in the comments that he made, in the words he chose. Now, again, we're just reading, you know, what could this mean, reading between the lines. It could very well be that they're saying something else behind the scenes or whatnot, but if I were predicting, I would predict he would be back. And so then you get to the other three, and I played Zach Kleiman's complete answer to the question that Drew asked him, which is, do you still have, you know, faith that this came, that these three, in these three, essentially? And he talked for 6 or 7 minutes about all kinds of things. He didn't really answer the question, which suggested that, you know, he didn't come out and just say, yes, we're going to stand by him. So I think they're probably open to exploring all kinds of things. But I also think that unless one or the other of them force their way out, which is possible, it will be very hard to find a trade for any of those individual players that makes you better, right? And so therefore, my suspicion is that they will, if I had to bet once again, that all three will be back. And then beyond that, there's a million things we could talk about. But on those two, I think, you know, very much speculating and very much up in the air, and I can 100% see both of those things going the other direction, but I think that's the way I would lean.
What did you make of Kleiman's tone and his responsibility, or at least his accountability in terms of what his answers, everything else? You talked about playing some of them on the show. What did you think of Kleiman?
I mean, he always says hand is up, you know, it's on me. He does say that, right? And it very clearly is. Like, it is on him. The whole team, he built the team, right? So it is on him. He sounded, honestly, defensive, is what he sounded to me. And I mean, just if you listen to that answer again, he was asked, do you still believe in the core? And he talked on. And by the way, I like people when they talk. I appreciate their perspectives and getting their perspectives. He was criticized after the Isolo, was hired and Jenkins were fired. Then he was criticized for only talking for 2 minutes. So I kind of appreciate him talking. But if you look at what he said in that answer, among the things he said were, I don't know who he needs to hear this, but I didn't intentionally get younger.
Yeah.
And he said, and then he started rattling off the number of dogs he has on the team. And so those aren't even questions he was answered. I asked. He was answering questions he was not asked. And it's very clear that he was reacting to criticism that he has made the team younger. And he was reacting to criticism that there isn't dogs on the team. Well, he's human. And that's very clearly where that came from. I also think it's just the product of, I said this after the Tigers lost. I was astounded after the Tigers lost that I saw all this stuff on social media about firing Penny Hardaway. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, really? I almost couldn't believe it. And then it reminded me that when your team loses in the end, almost invariably, unless you're just a plucky underdog like Detroit this year, let's just say, everyone hates their team after they lose. Like it is, there is this upwelling of hatred towards your team and everything's bad and whatever else. And I do think that there internally, they're very conscious of the fact that this was a disappointing season. And honestly, that the crowds were very disappointing as well. And so I think they've been fundamentally praised from the moment they took over this team from a business perspective and particularly from a basketball perspective, King Kleiman, right? And so I think they're reacting to a season that was very clearly disappointing, an ending that was a flop, and therefore really the first sustained criticism that they've received.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's logic to keeping it together, but I also think that I thought Harrington kind of put it, well in his piece that, logic doesn't always win. And you don't have, infinite timelines and you have, people to placate and, there's politics and there's all these. And I think that to the extent that I think it would be influenced by that as opposed to like, in a perfect world. Yeah. You let it continue to be organic. You let it continue to develop and grow. But like, I just think there's too much at play for that to happen. That's my guess. That's my guess.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Yeah, I've said this a million times. Like, no one would just say run it back. No one would just say you've got to keep this group together. I don't find it particularly useful to say you've got to blow it up or you've got to keep them whatever, unless you're just talking to me about specifics. So if you are of the type, and there's a lot of people out there who think we have to, make a change to the core. My question always is, which player are you trading and what are you trading them for that is going to make this team better? Mm-hmm. And I think all three of those players, Ja has lost a lot of value because he's not available and because of off-court stuff. Dez has lost a lot of value because he's a limited player. We've seen that, who makes quite a lot of money for what he does. And Jaren has limited value because he's about to be a free agent. And by the way, his salary number, which is, as Chris has pointed out, is something like $23 million this year, the coming year. So if you were trading him, you could only bring back a $23 million player. So all three of them, yeah, fine. I'm all for mixing it up in a way that improves the team. I don't know if that trade will be available. So then you say, well, maybe you mix it up knowing that the team is going to be worse if you do. And sometimes that works that way. Sometimes it's because one of the players wants to force their way out, right? And so, well, it may make the team worse, but here we go. Got to do it anyway. Or you can do it because it's simply for branding reasons, let's just say, because it just no longer works anymore. There's some sort of toxicity internally or something that you have to break it up. And that's another reason to break it up. And sometimes, by the way, it can work out just fine. Like Oklahoma City had to trade Paul George. They had to trade him because he was demanding a trade. Well, they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Seemed to work out okay for them, and lots of other stuff. So it can work. I just am not interested in, when it comes to the core, change purely for the sake of change, unless it is forced on them. I am 100% interested in change for the sake of improving the team if those moves are available.
Jeff, I was talking about your show earlier. I'd listened this morning, as I usually do, but was walking around the house when Harrington was on, and at least so, doing other things, distracted at points. But it sounded like to me, and you can clean it up for me. But what I told John was what it sounded like on Harrington, and you're right. He pointed out, hey, with the $23 million, can only bring back a $23 million player. Like, but it sounded like from what he was saying to you, even he thinks a guy has been a champion of Jaren his entire career. Even you should draft Jaren Jackson Jr. That he thinks 300 to 350 is too steep for an organization. Am I off on that? Was that the general takeaway? Had he shifted a little bit on terms of how integral or vital Jaren Jackson Jr. is to this going forward?
I don't know if it's a shift particularly. He's a big Jaren Jackson guy.
Yep.
And he's incredibly talented and has from the moment that he's been drafted. I've never heard him say that he's worth $350 million, right? But he was clearer today. Listen, there's a range that you could pay him between 240, I think it is, and 350, right? And somewhere in there, might be a number that works for everybody.
I'm with you.
The problem is that if you are paying him $350 million, does it just work out badly for everybody? More is expected of him than he's capable. I mean, it didn't work out badly for his bank account, but more is expected of him than he's capable of giving. Everyone comes to regret it. You're saddled with this enormous deal. He's almost not tradable because of, he becomes an anvil around your neck as opposed to an asset for the organization.
Right.
So there's some number in there. I mean, let's be honest. Supermaxes are designed for, the idea was, the LeBrons of the world, Steph, Luka,
Jokic.
And whatever Jaren is, he is not that, right? And so
the Mavericks traded Luka because they didn't want to give him that.
I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe it for a minute. They hated him.
want to pay him the money.
That's what they said. Well, that's because they don't believe in him.
Oh, they'd believe in him if he was a $20 million a year player.
No, but they didn't believe that he was worth the money. That's right. They did not believe that. There was a terrible misjudgment on their part because he is worth the money. But they did not believe that he was going to be worth the money because they didn't think he was going to hold up because they had some weird-ass personal vendetta in the end.
Yeah.
If you read about it, and they totally underestimated his talent. But yes. But that's what can happen. You then trade someone and you get worse. See what happened to Dallas. I'm not thinking that was necessarily going to happen. The problem is that if you don't, then as a free agent, he can walk out the door and then, it's really a difficult position to be in. You're not better if all you did was subtract Jaren from this team. We've seen this team when it doesn't have Jaren on the floor and it's disastrously bad. They can't guard anyone, right? They're a disaster defensively when Jaren isn't on the floor. So obviously there's a lot of, all these moving pieces are really difficult, and it's getting harder to put good players around the three because the three are making so much. The funny thing is that if there weren't this history here, if we didn't have this, this disappointment and expectations and whatever else, if you just pick this team up and you put it down in Birmingham as an expansion team or something, I'm not suggesting anyone would do that, and you said, this is the roster, they'd just be thrilled, right? They'd say, my God, we got these three stars here, and we've got Jalen Wells, who's on a rookie, is only going to get better, and you got Zach Edey, who's only going to get better. But there's a lot of exhaustion around this franchise now. It's what you were talking about earlier, John, that sort of these pressures come to bear that don't make you necessarily do the thing that makes the most sense from a basketball perspective.
Right, like going all in with King-Queen, Like, I have King-Queen. Maybe it wins, but it's not a favorite, But I got to do it because I'm running out of chips, man. I'm running out of chips.
This is a metaphor that you must have meant for someone else because it's not a metaphor. You think working poker metaphors for me is the way to go, John?
I'm helping you have a crippling gambling addiction, and I'm helping Fishman.
There's several things I will not understand, but one is a gambling metaphor. But there are those out there, I'm sure, who did. Yeah.
All right, you're the best. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'll see you later for the poker game at your house.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.